Hey guys, welcome to a new brand new episode of Game Changer Podcast. I'm David Villa here with Diana Villa. And today we're going to talk about self-made versus God-made, the path to true success, self-made versus God-made. And, you know, when you think of the word self-made, I'm thinking of sometimes you see in a movie, sometimes you see, you know, somebody with an ego in the movie, maybe a CEO or some sort of, you know, celebrity or, you know, gangster, you know, somebody that's maybe the rich, you know, powerful person, you know, and they have this tag on their car in the front of it. It says self-made, you know, and a lot of times you hear somebody introduced as, you know, hey, Joe Blow or hey, Bob Franks, they're a self-made, you know, man or a self-made woman. And, you know, as a believer, you know, self-made will get you in trouble. And I want to talk about that. And not only that, if you have a measure of success as a believer and you really and truly understand, you know, where it comes from, then you realize that there's no such thing truly as self-made. You know, that everything you have and everything you are and everything that, you know, everything that you're blessed with is really from God above. And, you know, work matters, work ethic matters, strategy matters, you know, putting in the effort matters, intelligence matters, you know, being good at what you do matters, trying matters, wanting to win matters. But when it comes down to those things, all of that comes under the umbrella of being God-made. So I want to talk about this topic of self-made versus God-made. And, you know, I want to say this, and, you know, you were with me during this time, but when I think of self-made Diana too, you know, kind of the contrary to, or the opposite of that car on the front, that Lamborghini, you know, I mean, today I have an M8, you know, competition, nice car. I don't have that tag self-made on the front of it, but I'm thinking a nice car, you know, and it's because of the blessings of the Lord and because really God's grace and mercy and what he's done in our lives and our business. And his blessings are truly great. But then I think back to the time when I truly was self-made. And it was a time where, you know, we had lost everything because of me putting myself in place of God and the idolatry that came alongside of that. And I look at it and, you know, when you want to look at a car, we had an old clunker because we had two cars that were repossessed in the same basic couple of month period. We were evicted from our apartment, so we were homeless and carless. And, you know, as things begin to be put back together, there was the need for a vehicle, and we somehow got a hold of $500. I mean, this is a long time ago. Our marriage had, you know, kind of fallen apart, and, you know, it was all because of my actions. But, you know, I look
that is on the record.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But taking $500, we purchased a vehicle from some friends of ours that didn't have AC, and it was basically a hunk of junk. And, you know, I didn't like that car. You didn't like it more than I didn't like it, but I didn't like that vehicle, and I wouldn't think about putting any tag on it or any badge of honor on it. You know, social media wasn't really around back then, but I would have never posted that vehicle. That would have never been, you know, I didn't have a picture of that one. I didn't have a model car of that one, but that was self-made. So if you really want to know a tag that says self-made, when you put that tag on it, that's what it would be. Because if you truly, or as a believer, right, really subscribe to or follow all the way through the concept of self-made, it's going to crash you right into the ground.
I thought of the word fleeting. Being self-made is fleeting. And so it's not going to stand the test of time, kind of like a sandcastle. It can look really beautiful, but as soon as the tide comes in, it's not going to look the same.
Right.
And so I think, you know, we definitely have experienced those types of things. And even with losing all of those things, and somehow, even though in parts of, you know, speaking from my perspective, maybe even parts of me feeling hopeless, somehow faithful, meaning full of faith, hopeless, but somehow being full of faith that, you know, if I keep my hands and my eyes and my life focused on the Lord, you know, that there will be beauty for the ashes. And so You know, God is solid. And sometimes God, you know, has to remove things from our lives to help us recognize that it was His to begin with. And it was not based on what we've done in our works, but the goodness of God. So,
you know, some scripture to put into this, you know, I've been studying lately a lot on the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. And as it, in kind of going into the middle of the 11th, 12th, all that verse there, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that the end you might go well, it might go well with you. So there's an end result too. And the 17th verse says, so you may say to yourself, this is the problem, this is the self-made mindset. So you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I will testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. So it is Him who gives us power to get wealth, and we have to be careful to realize that it's not due to what we have done. Amen. And even though we are created with ambitions and we're created with the ability to do things, it's under the umbrella of the God-made that counts.
You know, it's like self-made will bring success, but God brings abundance. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference. When I think of abundance, I think there's enough and more than enough and enough to share. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes when we are self-made success, sometimes we hoard it and it's never enough.
Right.
Where He's more than enough, it's just never enough. And right. So you keep chasing, it's more and more and more. But I think when you keep God in the perspective of success and what you're achieving and keep Him in the center of it, there's abundance and you recognize that there is enough, more than enough, and you don't have a problem sharing it. You know, I think when you were talking about the story of the old car, you know, those are the things that, you know, in most cases you don't want to, not you personally, but you don't want to talk about, but those are the very things that we need to talk about to go, hey, this is what happens in life without God. Without God, I mess it up.
This is what self-made looks like.
It's seasonal.
Yeah.
I think it comes in seasons and waves. And
well, I think as a Christian, you know, from a biblical perspective, it's important to understand that these two approaches, right, self-made versus God-made, yield vastly different outcomes. And that's the difference, right? Sin's pleasurable for a season, and that's really what it comes down to, because when you're self-made, and again, separating out things like work ethic, and I feel like I have to qualify this. It doesn't mean we just sit on the couch, eat bonbons, and wait for God to do something.
Yeah.
So that's not what I'm advocating. I'm not advocating that we don't take the initiative and that we don't work and that we don't try and we don't have a desire to win. So let's just clear the playing field there. But looking at the self-made versus God-made, they have two very different outcomes. And self-made endeavors are enticing. But really, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to a sin. Because when you remove God from the equation, you think you have the Midas touch, then it always leads to failure. And so self-made endeavors are enticing. They promise instant gratification. They promise worldly achievements. But they lead to failure and emptiness. And on the other hand, embracing a God-made journey leads to true success and an abundance that surpasses all your expectations. And every time I look back at it, it's weird because, you know, you want something. By the way, God gave you that dream in the first place, and you want to accomplish something, so you see it one way, and then the waiting or the delay causes frustration and even you to doubt the plans and promises of God and to even doubt that you heard it right. But then when you get it, you look back and go, this is better than what I imagine it would look like to begin with, because God knows what's best for us.
I think it's also perspective. I think when you're in those seasons, mm-hmm. you begin to allow things to define you versus the character and the nature of God to define you. And I think when that starts to flip, I think that's when you can, because I think you can teeter back and forth between taking credit and saying, oh, I'm a self-made mm-hmm. and God-made. And I think it's really about keeping that perspective and godly principles, that when you start to, you know, when you take that perspective out, I think that's when you can flip and go, and instead of giving God the credit for it, you go, no, I've done it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really comes back down to perspective and making sure that you're keeping your eyes on the Lord every step of the way, right? And seeking him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I think we stop doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we may be, oh, I got so many meetings today, or I got so many things to do. I don't have time to be in the word of God, or I don't have time to spend this time in worship and prayer. I don't have time. And we start taking him out of the equation, we automatically...
Instead of making him the foundation.
Making him the foundation of it and the center of it.
There's an allure. Certainly there's an allure, and the allure of self-made success, I think, lies in the illusion. You know, when you think of an illusion, you know, it's something that seems real, but it's not. It lies in the illusion of control and desire for immediate results. We want it now. And again, this is how the enemy works, because it could be that very thing that God placed in your heart. It could be the God dream. It could be the God dream. It could be a good thing, but then you want it now, and there's things that God needs to work in you. But we desire immediate results.
Not only work in you, I think work out of us.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Sometimes God has to work things out of us to be able to do what he wants to do in us.
Absolutely, 100%. And so here's the way the enemy works. So because society, people, family, people around you, coworkers, right? Social media, society often glorifies those who have seemingly achieved everything through their own efforts, right? You can have, at the same time, you're cheered on by people because they gravitate towards that, you know, and you know, people who attribute their accomplishments to personal drive and ambition. That's something that people can understand, because it leaves the God out of it, and when you bring God into it, it shines a light on everything that you might feel like come short of God. You know, people can look at and they're drawn to that ambition. So the Bible reminds us that we're finite beings, right? And we are inherently flawed. We're not perfect. We have flaws, and we're limited in understanding. And so when we rely on ourselves, and I've done that like a lot, right? David can write a book on how to rely on himself and fail. You know, that leads to a narrow perspective, almost like blinders on. You know, and really, ultimately, every time I've done that, and I've done it a lot in my 51 years, it leads to disappointment. But on the flip side, the God-made success is rooted in in recognizing our need for something greater.
And I think having people, we talked a little bit today. We had in our Make It Happen for our company meeting. Mm-hmm. One of the things that came up was community, which is really important. I think, especially when you know that you have a direction and God's taking you somewhere, whether it's, and it doesn't always have to be about career and business. It could be a successful family. Right now we live in a world that families are breaking up on a regular basis. So yeah. It's like defining, allowing God to define success for you and what that means. Mm-hmm. But then actually having people in your life that will challenge you and say, hey, I think you're getting a little bit too haughty. Mm-hmm. And I think you're putting a lot of the emphasis on you. And I think you're forgetting those foundational things that without God, you're nothing. Right. So I think it's about having people in your life that are not afraid to challenge you and say, hey, you're going down a dead end road. You're headed towards a cliff. And so I think to be God made, you have to have people around you that will tell you, like, you're being dumb. You're not thinking straight.
Yeah. And you have to be. Yeah, exactly. And you have to listen to those people. But before you do, you have to be willing to have those people, and the right people, not yes people, because the pursuit of self-made success will lead to a relentless chase. I've done this for my life, you know, where it's a relentless chase for temporary pleasures. You know, you're going from one stepping stone to the other, one temporary pleasure to the next. And as the world entices us, and that's what it does, right? It dangles the carrot, you know, of enticement you know, of immediate gravitation. And here's the thing, sin, it's sin. It comes down to sin. Sin, we think, always is, you know, the big sins, you know, the adultery or the murder, the lying, the cheating, what have you. And those are all sins. But I mean, there's a lot of sin that falls under the category of idolatry. You know, idolatry is the big sin. But what does that mean? You know, we were in the Bible, it points it out as a golden calf. So, I mean, it's, you know, you go, well, I'm worshiping God. I go to church. I worship the Jesus of the Bible, right? But so I'm not worshiping a golden calf. But idolatry doesn't look like a golden calf these days. It looks like whatever it is that you put between you and God. And so I think a lot of our sins, you know, fall under that category. And they fall under what other people would praise you for. So it's, while sin appears pleasurable for a season, it ultimately leads us empty and unsatisfied. So if you have, this is no condemnation, but if you have been experiencing emptiness or maybe dissatisfaction, you know, then in contrast, God made success will invite us to seek a higher purpose, one that transcends momentary or temporary pleasure, aligns us with God's eternal principles. What's it about? Does it line up with God's eternal principles, right? Does it have to do with touching someone's life? And so
I think if you're wondering, is something, am I experiencing idolatry in my life? Anything that you put above God,
yeah,
is an idol.
Anything.
And anything.
So it could be anything.
It could be a person. It could be, you know, I've shared this.
It could be a thing.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Anything that has more merit in your life than seeking the Lord or trusting the Lord or going
so
to the Lord or
God
spending time with the Lord.
With.
That's exactly true. You know, I've given, not in the same context, but I know the Lord showed me, even though David expressed like things that he felt like he has messed up over the course of time, I believe the Lord showed me as our kids started leaving home and there was different things like making that transition to being empty nesters and stuff like that. I believe the Lord really did show me that there were many seasons of my life that I had my kids between, you know, God, my kids, then you. And sometimes there were seasons that I feel like my kids were even above God. And even though, right, raising kids and trying to be a good mom and steward that is a good thing, mm-hmm, it's still sometimes good things still can be an idolatry in your life that I put more emphasis. I didn't
thank God for his grace.
Yeah. And his goodness and his faithfulness.
Because what you just said is like you could literally know that you put something not only above me, I put things above you, but above God.
God, yeah.
And, you know, that's a gracious God because, you know, without grace, because God's all powerful. You know, I was studying something the other day where he's great and he's good. He's both. If he were just great and not good, but he were great, then where would that leave us? Because he could be all powerful, which he is, but not be good and then burn us like ants with a magnifying glass. But he could be good and not great and want to help us, but not have the power to do it. But he's both of those things, thank God.
Right? I think that's where the Lord showed me his goodness in being able to come in, even in my setbacks or my failures, because I really want to know the truth of it. That would be that wasn't something, that wasn't God's best, right? Yeah. God's best is him first. And so, but still out of that, God took even where I wasn't operating in God's best for myself, and he still made it so good,
yeah,
you know, in our kids. I don't know how they came out okay, if I'm being honest, in seasons, but for the goodness and the grace of God and the faithfulness of God and the supernatural of God.
Well, how about this? They came out good because it's God-made versus self-made.
Yeah.
And God-made doesn't mean no mistakes. Matter of fact, embracing a God-made journey, which is what this life is, requires humility, faith, perseverance. So it means acknowledging that our own efforts are always going to fall short without the guiding hand of God. And that's what we just did. We just, like, I mean, what good would we be if we were sitting here and had no experience on how to fail, no experience on what to do wrong? So, I mean, thank you for your humility. You know, thank you for your faith. Thank you for your perseverance. All of those things, because you were humble and say, hey, I jack it up. I still do. And, look, as we surrender our plans to God, trust in his sovereignty, we allow him to work wonders in our life, and that's where change comes. And it's his wisdom, his provision, and grace that surpass anything we could achieve on our own. You know, if you want to know how to jack it up, if I want to know how to jack it up, then just let me be in control of it. You know, I mean, it would be very similar. Like, I don't know how to fly. Okay, I don't know how to fly. And if I told you, hey, you want to get in this plane, I'm going to fly it, there's no way you would do it.
No.
You probably wouldn't do it if I took hours and hours and got certified as a pilot, but certainly wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't do it. But if I were in a plane right now physically and didn't know how to fly that, then I'd crash it straight into the ground, and there's the carnage of everything and everyone in the plane, as well as myself and everybody that's on the ground. You know, and can I just say, what's the difference in that and me trying to pilot my life? You know, God created us. He certainly is the architect. He knows the blueprint. He knows how to do this thing. We don't. And so I think that people that say they do are just fooling themselves, right? We haven't been there. His wisdom, his provision, his grace. That's where it is. Amen.
It's true. And if it had not been for God, I really don't know where I'd be today.
Yeah. So I think we have to be inspired, right? As we kind of wind this down, Diana, we have to be inspired, and not only that, motivated to choose the path of God, in that God made success. And so we have to humbly surrender our desires. It's hard, right? Because again, you know, I'm reminded of Hebrews 12, where it says, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He put it in you. So sometimes the thing we're chasing is a God-given dream. We're just chasing it in a man-made way.
I think you have to make sure you know what your definition of success is. I think everybody's definition of success is differently. I think you do have to seek the Lord and ask him for that. I think everyone's is different. For me, one of the definitions of success for me was I grew up in a broken home. My parents divorced when I was very young. And so success for me, one of the things that I define success is that somehow, even in all of the
mess up, jacked up.
Yes. We raised kids in a home that not only made it, but loved God and served God, even in our mistakes, and stayed faithful to the house of God. And I attribute, I mean, honestly, even if you knew a fraction of our story, you would say, how did we make it? And I could say, because success to me was making a commitment that, you know, till death do us part. And maybe we'll help each other get in the grave a little faster. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. But that God, even when we stayed faithful to the house of God, even if it was going through the motions and seasons. Yep. I mean, because if we're honest, if, you know, we don't want to talk about that, but sometimes we stayed faithful to the house of the Lord by going through the motions of it, and almost kind of like a mentality of fake it till you make it. But thank God it stayed consistent, right? Mm-hmm. So we just stayed consistent at something until the Lord was able to work out of us.
It was a habit. We created a habit.
But, and the Lord used our, I guess, tenacity to keep being consistent to work those things out, mm-hmm. so that he can work within. So I think you have to define, and I started by saying, I think you have to define success. What success. If you gain all the successes of this world and lose your family, is it success?
No. You know, and so I was thinking when you were just saying that, we just kept going. And so a lot of times that's where the enemy comes in, because the enemy is coming in. He'll say you're faking it, you know, to make it. You're not really, look what's really going on, or look at some of the challenges you're facing. He's a liar, because the reality is we're expecting, again, perfection. We're expecting that because we're a believer that we're going to not have to walk through some of the challenges. And so the discipline of going to church and keeping God first it still is effective. It doesn't matter if it feels like it or not. That's the thing right now, if you're listening, as we wrap this up, that's humbly, I believe, surrendering our desires, our ambitions, our plans right there. That's it. It's just surrendering. I mean, it doesn't mean you surrender it and then all of a sudden, like, a choir goes, you know, and the light shines down on you and you feel it. Yeah, those are great when you feel those moments, synergy and feeling, all of that feels great. But what if when you don't feel it? We walk by faith, not by sight. And so surrendering those things to the one who knows us intimately and desires the best for us, that's the thing you can depend on. So in doing this, we experience a life filled with a purpose, meaning, and abundance that surpasses anything that we can achieve on our own. And you said something about defining success. So we have to remember, true success lies not in our self-made, right? We need a shirt, Mike. We need something, a shirt or something design of some sort. Let's start with a design first. Give a Christian self-made and have it crossed off, and then God-made. you know, self-made, like cross through it. So we got to remember true success lies not in our self-made endeavors, but in embracing the God-made journey. And we have to find the courage to let go of our limited, that's David's limited, no matter what, understanding and allow God, who is unlimited, right, to lead us into a life of true fulfillment and abundant blessings. Amen?
That's good.
Amen. Hey, let's pray. Why don't you pray for those that are struggling with the self-made versus God-made? Will you pray for them?
Yes. Amen. Father, we thank you that your word says where we are gathered in your name, that there you would be in the midst. And so, Father, we are also thankful that, Lord, we could be here praying, and God, even if someone listens to this right now, listens to this message a month from now, God, your Holy Spirit is able to come and move into their situation. And so, Father, as we filter through life and success, I just pray for anybody that is struggling with self-made versus God-made right now. I just pray that you would just reveal to them those areas, God, and they would begin to surrender and lay down, God, their own achievements, God, and begin to seek you and what your plan is for their life, and that they would just begin to give you honor, Lord, that they would ask for your direction, Father God, that if you say go right, that they go right, even if they feel they should go left. Yes. And so, Father, I just pray right now, God, that, Lord, that we would begin as believers to begin to define success as you define it. And God, that we would seek you first, God, and that we would allow you to, God, begin to mold our path and your plan over our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to us today. Hopefully this was a blessing, and we appreciate you so much. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you share with someone and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click the bell for notifications for future episodes. Also, you can subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. And make sure you tell somebody about this show. Hopefully it's a blessing to you, and it can be a blessing to them as well. If you want to connect with us more, you can follow us on our social media handles. We'll put them on the screen. Also, download our Game Changer by IPD Agency app. You can stay connected with us and receive a lot, I believe, a great deal of collateral and just great material that can help you in your walk, especially in the marketplace. We appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you next time on Game Changer Podcast.